So the title of the talk this morning is Green Pastures. The beginning of Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. So what is this picture of sheep lying in green pasture? Well, a green pasture is a place where there's no need for sheep to be on their feet, ready to scatter when danger approaches. Here is security. It's a place of refreshment. Here is rest. It's a place where there's no need for the sheep to keep on moving in search of more adequate grass of better quality. Here is ample nourishment, security, rest, nourishment. How do the sheep arrive in this place? It's the place to which the shepherd leads them. How do the sheep know that it's safe to lie down? Because the shepherd is with them. How long will the sheep stay in the green pasture? Until the shepherd calls them to follow him onward. The green pasture is a key part of the experience of well-shepherded sheep. Note that David wrote of green pastures in the plural. The shepherd knows the landscape, and for any given season and circumstances, he leads the sheep to the best particular pasture. God is the shepherd. God's people are the sheep. For example, in Psalm 80, verse 1, we read of a psalmist calling on God as shepherd and king. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You are enthroned upon the cherubim. Shine forth! In the society the psalmist lived in, a shepherd and a king were polar opposites in the social hierarchy. The menial shepherd, the majestic king. But here we learn that God the king rolls up his sleeves to get involved with the unhygienic work of shepherding his people. How does God shepherd his people? In the Old Testament, we learn that God shepherds his people through leaders. Old Testament leaders of God's people are described as shepherds. For example, in Jeremiah chapter 23, prime examples are Joshua, as he took over from Moses, in Numbers 27, and David, as he was recognized as king, in 2 Samuel chapter 5. God also shepherds his people by giving them a source of wisdom in the wise writings that he inspires. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 11, we read a comment probably made primarily about the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. Images of goads used to guide wayward livestock and of nails firmly fixed that can be relied upon, given by one shepherd, God. In the New Testament, we learn that God shepherds his people through Jesus. Jesus called himself the good shepherd, John chapter 10, verse 14. In saying this, he made a direct claim to fulfill the role of Messiah, the longed-for, ultimate, anointed king, as prophesied in Ezekiel 34 and Micah chapter 5. Jesus says to people who are listening to him, I am your shepherd king. So why is Jesus the good shepherd, and what are his roles? Jesus enters the sheepfold by the door, not by climbing over the wall as a thief would. Jesus has authority to enter by the door, to be the good shepherd. This was confirmed by his fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies, Matthew chapter 11, verses 2-6, and by his recognition as the Son of God by John the Baptist, John chapter 1, verse 32-34. Secondly, Jesus cares deeply about each sheep. He told about this in the story of the lost sheep. And this is in fulfillment of the prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 34. Thirdly, Jesus calls his sheep by name. In the British Army, how are new recruits addressed by their sergeant major? Isn't it, right, you miserable lot? In contrast, how does Jesus call us? Isn't it, Sally, follow me. Mike, follow me. Roberta, follow me. Your name too. Follow me. Jesus leads his sheep in the right path. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Next, Jesus lays down his life for the sheep, John chapter 10. Then Jesus provides food and drink for his sheep. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus appoints deputy shepherds. Prime example is Peter, who after the resurrection was reinstated by Jesus in a shepherd's role. In the New Testament church, some are gifted as pastors, Ephesians chapter 4. And pastor, as you probably know, is simply the Latin word for shepherd. Peter exhorts the elders of the church to shepherd the flock of God, 1 Peter chapter 5. And today, Jesus still calls people to have a shepherding role, but he remains the great shepherd of the sheep, or the chief shepherd, 1 Peter chapter 5. Finally, Jesus, on judgment day, as king, will, like a shepherd, separate his sheep from the goats. The sheep being people who've lived lives of love, and the goats being those who have not. So how do we respond to Jesus as shepherd? We ask Jesus to be our shepherd, and we submit to his leadership. We receive security, refreshment, and nourishment. But before we think, that sounds nice, God's going to give us a cushy life, we need to be aware that these benefits are primarily spiritual. And before we think, I knew there'd be a catch, the blessings will be vague and fanciful rather than saving me from the stresses of life, we need to remember that the concerns of this world are temporary, like wildflowers. Here today, gone tomorrow. The person of faith sees spiritual things as having the more concrete reality. They are the things of lasting significance. Micah chapter 4, verses 4 to 5 says this as a prophecy about Jesus. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 11 says, referring to God, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. There is security. In the Good News translation of Mark chapter 6, verse 31, there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his disciples didn't have time even to eat. So he said to them, let's go off by ourselves to some place where we will be alone and you can rest a while. There is rest. Mark chapter 6 verse 34 says, referring to Jesus, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. There is nourishment. So, green pastures are for us the place where we receive spiritual security, rest, and nourishment. They are experienced in the presence of the Good Shepherd, as the Spirit of the Good Shepherd opens our hearts to worship him, leads us in prayer, and teaches us to know him through his word as we soak ourselves in the Bible. If we don't spend sufficient time and energy receiving the benefits of the green pastures, we may find that the Good Shepherd overrules our plans and our habits. As David writes in Psalm 23, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Many effective Christians have experienced periods of involuntary time out from the pressures of life. In our experience, this is often through illness or infirmity. In the experience of many Christians overseas, it's through imprisonment for their faith. Consider the Chinese Christian known as the Heavenly Man. Many of you will have read this book. There was a period of time when he wasn't in prison. What did he do with this time? What would we do? Well, he memorized a big chunk of the Bible so that when he was back in prison, it would nourish and sustain him. How else do we respond to Jesus as our shepherd? We listen to his voice and we follow him. One aspect of what this means could be that in very small ways, or sometimes in bigger ways, each of us who belong to Jesus is called to be a deputy shepherd. Perhaps we could bring some security to someone who's feeling very insecure, some rest to someone who's being harassed, or some nourishment to someone who needs some spiritual truths. Then we should live in such a way that other people recognize that the Lord is our shepherd. When people look at me, do they say, ah, there's a man for whom Jesus is his shepherd? I wonder. Finally, as we read Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, on the day of judgment, we will be counted as his sheep and receive the gift of mercy and eternal life. So let's just spend a moment of silence as we think about what God may be saying to us through his word. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Amen.